to you from this trip that stands out. I'll start with an Ojibwe story. There's a grandfather who was talking to his grandson, telling him, "There is a great war inside of us. There's a great war between two wolves inside of us. The first wolf is greed, jealousy, anger, lust, hatred, resentment, unforgiveness. And the second wolf is love, joy, peace, kindness. And they are both fighting within us." And so the grandson looks to his grandfather and says, "Like, who's gonna win? Which one of the wolves is gonna win?" And the grandfather, in good Ojibwe form, tells him, "The one you feed. The one you feed is the one that's gonna win." And it's really funny because we do this every year. Like, we've been going every year for the last like 10 years or 9 years. And it's always the same thing. Whether it's a missions trip up north, or whether you go for a week to a monastery in Texas, or you take a week of Holy Week where you're like super committed. By the end of the week, what happens? By the end of the week, you're like, "I can't believe it. It's amazing. God is there. I really hear him talking. I really feel him. Why is it like not like this?" As though God is in Ireland and he's not in Ottawa. You know what the difference is? It's which one you feed. So from the side of our team, the side that the team that went down, and they can all attest, like they said, up at 5:30. And from 5:30 till about 10 o'clock, all we're doing is praying. All we're doing is talking to the Lord. So much so that at the end of liturgy, they just received the Eucharist, and I imposed a fast on them. I said, "Okay, you just received the Eucharist. I want you to continue fasting without talking. So no talking until we're done our quiet time." So if you can imagine 40 people having received the Eucharist, protecting the Eucharist, protecting their peace, and going out, getting into vans, the whole drive to the lake, everyone is silent. Everyone is in union with God. Will you do that for 5 days, 6 days? What happens? The other wolf, greed, anger, lust, all that, is starving. It's starving. And you're feeding the one that needs to be fed. You're feeding your spirit. It's not rocket science. When I was blessed to spend 40 days in the Barmos, and Abuna was there when I was there, it was heaven. I kept coming to you. Do you remember? I kept coming to Abuna. I'm like, "What's going on? What's happening? This is heaven. Like, what's happening? How do I bring the Barmos here? This is, remember, I used to ask you all the time. I don't understand what's going on." It's not rocket science. You wake up early, you pray tisbeha, you attend liturgy, you pray some more, you learn the hymns, you attend lessons. It's not rocket science. We don't need to go to Ireland for you to experience God. You don't need to go to Ireland. You don't need to come and wait till June. "Oh, now I can't. I have to wait a whole year before experiencing this." You don't have to wait. Yeah, you've got tonight. You've got tomorrow morning. You've got the next day. Pre-liturgy, like liturgy, you've got... up to you. So it's, like I said, it's this awesome, amazing experience is available every day to you. It's available. Nothing is stopping you from finding a park and going and sitting for an hour every day. Nothing is stopping you from attending as many liturgies and receiving the Eucharist. Nothing. So as much as it's awesome that we shared how beautiful and how wonderful it is and how close we are to God, it's available. It depends on who you want to feed. The second thing I wanted to talk to you was the people. The people are human. And it's funny, before we become saints, before we become holy, as is our calling, we should first become human. You can't jump over that step. You can't jump over being truly and deeply human. I'm going to share some stories about these people that have become family to me, just to kind of show you who they are. If you remember one of the sayings that they shared with you, that it says that only the humans are the ones who stepped away from the sacred way. What is the sacred way that we're talking about? For them, they don't have the idea or even the word for religion. Did you know that? They don't even have a word for religion. It's not something that they understand. All they know is the sacred way. And the sacred way isn't a bunch of rules from the outside about themselves on how to behave. They don't have like an outward set of rules to be morally good or right. What they have is something that they've observed with time. There is a sacred way of being. And this sacred way of being is something that philosophers throughout the ages have observed. Throughout the ages, there is what they call a law, but not an external law, but a sacred law from inside the heart. So that when they see someone doing something, or they're put in a situation where someone is cold, like you heard the little girl gave her towel, and she said, if she's warm, I'm warm. There's no law about that. There's no rule. Thou shalt give thy towel to thy neighbor in order for thee to experience the warmth therein. Right? That's not a law. It's the sacred way. And the sacred way that we're discussing here is the same sacred way that many philosophers spoke about. Even Heraclitus, 600 years before Christ, spoke about something called the Logos. This is the sacred way. This is the pattern of what it means to be alive and to be human. And what's beautiful about St. John is when he came to preach to the Greeks, he said, in the beginning was the Logos. This sacred way, this logic, this pattern that all creation must follow, including humans. And this sacred way, if we were to write the gospel in Ojibwe, if we were to translate it, we wouldn't use the word logos. We would say, in the beginning was the sacred way. And the sacred way was with God, and the sacred way was God, and the sacred way became flesh. This is important to understand. Because the way that their sacred way, their understanding of the way of living, is the same thing that the first century Christians believed in. If you look at this, they were never called Christians until much later. They were called Christians by people outside of the faith. What were they called? Do you remember? They were called followers of the way. Now, who is this way? This way is the Lord Jesus himself. But when we're talking about the way, it's very different than having a religious set of rules that I try to follow. That is external. Things like, hey, what time is the gospel? I just want to make it on time for the gospel. Just Gibin al-Echir, right? Like, just tell me, what's the bare minimum? What is 9 hours of fasting? Does it matter if I fast like 8 hours and 49 minutes? Does it really matter? So we love this. We love this here because it's easy to follow rules and to have instead of having the way of God. His way, written, his law, written on the tablets of our hearts, so that whether anyone is looking at you or not, you are a follower of the way. Now, this way that we're discussing is so easily observed in these people. In a culture here where we so emphasize the importance of success and wealth and power and education and titles, even within the church, forgive me, even within the church, sometimes you find like we elevate this. I remember telling somebody that is like very high up there, he asked me, what are you studying? I said, classical studies. And he said, like, what's that? I said, oh, it's ancient Greek. And I was like, you're wasting your life. I'm like, thank you. He's like, you'll never be successful. I'm like, thank you. I didn't know what to do with myself. But we so elevate power and success and wealth and like comfort. Doctor, I told you guys about that story, right? Fadal George? Doctor George? Anyway, okay. I told you the story, no? Okay, so just to speak about this concept that's in the church, like among us, like at least, there's two uncles, they're in communion line, and they're like, tfaddal, you know, like the heartburn, the tfaddal, and one's going, tfaddal, the other's going, tfaddal, and then one says, tfaddal ya George, and the man looks at him, he says, Doctor George, which is totally the opposite of so we live in a culture where we are affected by this idea that we even call it, what's the good life? Can you describe the good life to me? What's the good life? Yeah, man, what's the good life? Being a pharmacist. Minimum. What else? A good wife? Good car? Comfortable? Well, isn't it funny that somehow we have come to believe that it's okay to strive and long for these things, and then we're shocked that we're not happy. We're like surprised, what's going on? And then we get to Ireland. We get to Ireland and we see these people who like who are so deeply small. They're small. They don't come and introduce themselves based on their credentials. They couldn't care less. And there's some people that are like super educated there, but you would never know because they don't care. Because the only value that you see is in their connection with everybody else. What can I give to the community? What can I be to the community? If they are studying, they're studying for the community, not for themselves. So one day, I really felt like it was important that I go down. I had gone in June, and I just felt like I need to go and see these people again. I miss them. When I'm there, I feel like the most alive I ever am. I love, because they don't care if I study classics. They just treat me like family. I'm like, if you saw when I first arrived, because Abuna Makary is like the real priest. He's been coming for years. When I first arrived, they're like, hey, Mark, what you doing wearing that? You're the fake Abuna. I'm like, where's the real Abuna? They don't care. Like, there's no pretension. There's no filtering. They just like, where's the real Abuna? And when I, like, the adults are the ones that I was very close to. I didn't know the kids as well because we're always busy with the adults. And I'd see them. They would stop the cars, right? They'd stop the car. They'd come out. We'd hug each other. And like, what's your new name? It's Father Joseph. Oh, that's okay, Mark. You'll always be Mark to us. And I eat like, it doesn't. You know what? I'm honest. It was like music to my ears because they said Mark with so much love. And like they said it with like what matters, right? And they would hug and we would like, I would cry with some of them, literally. Like I'd be in tears because I miss them and I love them. So anyways, all this to say, one day I decided to go back. I went with my son David. We actually went camping in one of the backyards. Like, and I'm like, oh, Bernard, why is that fence broken? Oh, well, the bear has broken the fence. Like, thank you. We're in the backyard, no problem. You become very spiritual very quickly when you know that. Anyways, so I'm in the, and my only purpose was, I brought with me like 200 Bibles. I just wanted to give a Bible to every single person in the community. And it's amazing how like how receptive they were. They would come and I'd write a little verse for them in the Bible. And the next year, one of the guys, he's one of my favorites. His name is Sam. Sam is, you have to understand, Sam was the chief in 1990s. And Sam is he has memories when he was young. He would run and open the door of the church for the priest because there's a Catholic priest there with some nuns, and he just wanted to be the altar boy. He loved God. And then when the Catholic Church kind of stopped serving them for a while, everybody kind of like moved away and the church was no longer allowed to be used, and then it burnt down and everybody kind of stepped away. Well, I saw Sam the year after I gave him the Bible, and he said, Mark, I have to tell you a story. You and Abuna, the real Abuna, Abuna Makary, he called us to his place and we went and sat with him. He's like, I have to tell you the most amazing story. He said, remember that Bible that you gave me? He said, one day I found it in my truck and I took it inside and I started reading it. And I couldn't stop reading. I couldn't stop reading. And then one day I went fishing and I got an infection in my leg, and then I found myself at the hospital because it just wasn't healing. I got bit by something and it was just getting worse and worse. And then they were going to amputate. And he's just sitting looking at Abuna, because I wasn't a priest at that time. He's looking at Abuna Makari, and he's just looking at him. He's like, and then you know what happened in the hospital? He said, there's an Abuna that just appeared to me. He's like, he looks just like you. He was dressed like you, and he's wearing a cross just like you, but he had a funny hat on, because Abuna Makari doesn't bring his emma, right? He wears his ta'iyah or nothing. And then he's like, but he had a funny hat. It goes like this. He described the emma. And he said he had like a beard like this, and he stood like this. And from the moment that he came and stood, he goes, I was terrified, because he just appeared out of nowhere. And he just looked at me, and then he disappeared, and I was healed after that. I said, can you just hold on a second? Give me a second. So I went and grabbed my phone. I'm like, is it him? I showed him Abuna Yusuf Al-Antoni. He's like, no, that's not him. And I went to Abuna Abdul Masih al-Manahri. He's like, yeah, that's the one. That's the one who came. Who is he? I'm like, I'll tell you later. So, and he was healed. And then in his simplicity, he was talking. He goes, you know, another time, I got to tell you this. I love Sam. Oh, sorry. He's like, I was sitting on my bed, and I was really struggling. I was worried about Errolland. Just this statement. He's on his bed, and his heart is aching for his people. Dude, like, if you've got Netflix, just watch Netflix. Like, don't waste your time. Don't think about others. Hey, get yourself a phone. Do something with your life. Why are you concerned about others? Okay, back to reality. So he's sitting there on his bed, and he's, like, so concerned about Ireland. And his heart is broken for his kids and the kids of Ireland. And he's looking at me, and he's like, and then wouldn't you know it, my grandmother appears to me. Like, sorry, come again? He's like, yeah, she was all in white. You know, my grandmother loved Jesus more than anybody else. She prayed, she loved the Lord so much. Okay, tell me more. And he goes, you know what she used to do? She used to make meals, and the whole village would come, and she would feed everybody. She just loved Jesus. I'm like, okay, and she just kind of showed up. Yeah, she died in 1982. And she appeared to. It's like, yeah, she came and she patted me on the back and said to me, Sam, everything's going to be okay. And then she disappeared. I'm like, wow. The next year, at the end of that night, he's like, the Bible's really small. Can you get me, like, do you have another Bible? I'm like, Sam, stay where you are. I go running. I'm like, I grab my Orthodox study Bible. It has my name in it. I'm like, sorry, this is mine. Can you have it? So I give it to him. So next year I see him. And he says to me, Mark, thank you. I'm like, for what? He's like, the Bible. He said, I can't stop reading it. He said, I read it from cover to cover. Because you know what I do at night? I sit in my bed. I call my wife and my grandchildren, and I read to them until I sleep. And I sleep, turn off the light, because, and you know, sometimes, so many times, I just can't sleep because I want to know what happens next. So I turn the lights, and I open up, and I continue reading. I read it from cover to cover. He goes, I have to tell you something, Mark. It's crazy. He says, you know, like, your Bible has, like, the letters, the words of Jesus in red. And he's like, when I read, it's like Jesus is right in front of me talking to me. The words he's saying are to me. And I just, oh, I love him. I can't get enough of him. I can't get enough of the Bible. So I finished yours, and I went and got my dad's big Bible. And I'm reading that now. Like, because it was just the New Testament and Psalms. So now he's in, like, the Old Testament. It's like, but my problem is I'm, like, reading in three different sections at the same time. Get enough of him. And I'm like, hi, we're the missionaries coming to tell you about Jesus. Why is it that these people are so special? Why are they so receptive to the word of God? You know why? Because they have the sacred way in their hearts. Look, we're cool with being religious. Like, we're totally cool. Tell me what to do. I'll come on Sundays. Give me the bare minimum. But they have something else. They are followers of the small way. If you look at Matthew 5, 6, and 7, first words, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. You know, like, if that was going to be someone's resume, hey, we've got a job offering here. We got a job posting. Who would like to be poor in spirit, meek, humble, broken, and mourning? Anyone? Any takers? It's like it's the opposite of what we want. And yet the Lord puts the word blessed in front of it. In front of each one of those, he puts the word blessed. And these people have learned to be soft and gentle. They've learned to be small. And because they are small, they understand the gospel. Because they are small, they receive Jesus very easily and very simply. I was in a reserve 3 hours north in a place called Martin Falls. Martin Falls is just a fly-in reserve. And it's a place where they get their water shipped to them once a week and their food shipped to them once a week. Like a thing of milk is like $13. Like a 1 liter of milk, because there's nothing, there's no access to anything, right? So we were there, and the First Nations, I don't know if you know their story, I really encourage you to kind of look into their history, because they have been like brutalized by the government and by the churches over the last 100 and some years. Their land stripped away from them, forced into these residential schools where they were no longer allowed to be native. They were treated like they were wild, so they wanted to civilize them, they'd cut their hair, which is sacred to them. They'd force them to change language. They had to speak in English. They had to pray. And I'm listening to these stories, and I'm like, why are you okay with a group of Christians coming to talk to you? Like, after all the suffering that you've been through. So here I was again, the great missionary. And I'm sitting there, and I'm doing a talk. I'm being sarcastic. Those of you that, I don't think I'm a great missionary. I'm just, because people are like, did he just say it? I'm being sarcastic. Welcome to a different tone. Okay, so I'm sitting there and I'm talking about forgiveness. I'm doing this like talk about forgiveness and we have to release and whatever. And then one of the survivors of these schools, she looks at me and she didn't say a word the whole talk. She was just sitting and listening. And she saw that I had a prayer rope on. She said, "Is that your rosary?" I said, "Yes, would you like it?" And I took it off and I gave it to her. I said, "You can have it." And would you know, she just opened up. She said, "You know, can I share my story with you?" She said, "You know, every time Jesus appeared to me, it's all the beautiful that I found." So the first 2 times, I couldn't see. But I knew there was only Jesus here, but he's the only one that's okay. Said, "Last year I was in a car accident, and every bone in my body was broken and shattered." And she was lying there in pain for 7 hours before the helicopter came to get her, to fly her to Thunder Bay, because there's no access to anything. She's like, "And in those 7 hours, I didn't feel any pain. Once I got to the hospital, everything was killing me. So God covered me for those hours. And then when I was in the hospital, when they did all these surgeries, and then the doctor came and said to me, 'Listen, I'm sorry, but you're going to be paralyzed for the rest of your life. You can no longer use your legs.'" So someone came and prayed for her from a church locally there, and then they left. She said, "That night, the Lord appeared to me. He was standing right in front of me. And he knelt down on the ground, and he touched my foot all the way to the top of my head. He said, 'This is for your pain, so you can be healed.' And then he left." And she's walking around like she has nothing. Like she, there's no more breaks in her back or anything. The point that I'm trying to tell you is that the Lord is serving whether we are serving or not. And the Lord is seeking those who are willing to be small and humble and meek, those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, those who know that the sacred way leads to blessedness. To know that it is blessed to be small and meek and poor in spirit. And so, yes, we go and we share about the gospel, but we also go and see the gospel there. So back to the first part. There are two wolves fighting inside each one of us. It depends which one you feed. His way. And his way was sent to the Lord. He always sent it to the Lord. Was obedient to the point of the cross. And yes, I dare say that the way of the cross is the way of being human. Christ is the full revelation of who God is. No one questions. But he's also the revelation of what it means to be human. You want to be human on your way to holiness? We must go on the way of the cross. This is it. So Arrowland is so much more than just like a week, you know, go play in the lake with the kids. It's a time to remind us that we are here, alive today. You don't have to wait till next June when we're going again. Today, tomorrow, tonight, how you live matters. And how you walk and which way you choose to walk in changes everything. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.
Just in 1 minute. When the priestess said that all of the people there in the Orland, they see God. Through the creature, to see God through the creature. And this is the psalm said that the creature reveals the glory of God, reveals the glory of God. The whole creature, the moon, the sun, the plants. I remember that there is a palm tree inside my cell in the monastery. In every this festival, it gives the dates. Yes, the dates. It is only the creature that not reveal the glory of God. I'm sad to say that it is a human being. It's a human being. We are the master, or we are the arch of all of these creatures. But many of us not reveal the glory of thee, because we want to gain this glory apart from others. So please be as a mirror. When a mirror, the sun. It's fallen. It reflects the benefit, the glory, the existence of God. So, just I want to share this with you. I'm proud of you, all of you, and this is the only method that can preach the Jesus Christ nowadays, and this is the first methods that the early church that preaching that Jesus Christ is not through the sermons. It is an applied sermon, what you do. It's applied. It is an action. The action is more strong than the I talk to. I said that with Abuna Moros, which is get the love is very, very, very decreased in value, that I say by my mouth. But by my action, I glorify the God. Because I glorify the love. Because God is love. So I want to reveal, to manifest this glory, to be as a mirror. Okay? This is the only set points that Saint Athanasius said that be a humble. When you be a humble, that you know that they are the earthly vessels, but the power inside it, the power inside it, we should to reveal this power, this love, this God. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you, Abunas. I think, Abuna, you encourage us. Sure. I think you encourage us to go to Ireland, maybe next year with you. Yeah, we have to. Yeah. And thank you for the story about the palm. Wow. I saw your face. You looked. Yeah, I get tired. Okay, we have some announcements. I want also to we are not sure, but we are preparing for that. You know very well that there is a lot of people are very poor, and we are in Upper Egypt. And I was a member of a group who's serving Upper Egypt from long time. And maybe in December we are going to Upper Egypt to help the people there and the kids for 10 days before Christmas. Because you know very well that they have nothing there. They are very, very, very poor, really. And they need more help from our side. And I think the youth who came with me last time in Egypt, and we served only for 4 days or 3 days only, 2 days, I don't remember actually, 2 days only with the kids. And for example, we divided the days by two parts. The first, for example, first day in the morning, there is three villages came with 150 kids, and we are doing with them some games or something like that, and the evening the same. You can imagine, and they're amazed. We give them a small gift, and that's it. They loved that to have something and share it with them. Then maybe I will arrange with Abuna, with Samir also, too, if we're going to do that, because usually we send already some money to them, for example, to help. This year, some priests called me, and they were like, okay, can you come with your youth to help us? We need a lot of people also to help the kids there and the people also. I don't know where Abuna, they're in Ireland, where they live. They have houses or something like that. Yes, they're in Egypt, they haven't. I went sometimes to some houses, and I have this story. I have a lady, she's elder, and I went to her house. There is no roof, and there is no windows. And I asked her, like, where are you living? She told me, like, here. Okay, where's your home? Where's your house? She told me, here. This is my house. And we had a plan to build all the houses, for example. And I told her, okay, I will renovate and do your house. She told me, no. Thank God, I have everything. Can you go to Amma George? He needs some help, for example, his house. Okay, what about your house? She has nothing. But she has, as Abuna said, you have to be humble. And this is what she said. Go to Amma George because he needs more help, not myself. Then this year maybe we'll decide to go to Egypt to help them. I will announce later about that because we have to prepare ourselves. Thank you very much. Thank you, Abuna. And thank you for sharing all the youth that share with us this story about Ireland.